Hello, everyone, and welcome to our service for Ascension Thursday. Ascension Thursday is the day that we think about Jesus returning to his Father in heaven after being raised from the dead. We hear, too, about a promised gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit, that will be available to all who believe in and follow Jesus. But there is also a period of waiting for about 10 days in Jerusalem for the first disciples, as they are then given the Holy Spirit to equip them to carry out the work of building up the community of faith and making Jesus known. Over the next 10 days, some very special events will be held in our diocese, and they will be made available over the special telephone line 02891-249395. That's 02891-249395. Or you can also access these special events and messages on our church's website, www.stfinians.org, or the church's Facebook page. Tomorrow, Friday, there'll be a special prayer focus on young adults with a message from Bishop David. On Saturday, Bishop David's wife, Hilary, is going to share a message that's aimed primarily at women. And then on Sunday coming, as part of our service, you'll hear prayers that have been recorded by leaders of the main Christian denominations here in the Diocese of Down and Dromore. So we want to invite you, please, to stay connected and to keep praying with us as a diocesan family, as we long to see many encounter the risen, ascended Lord Jesus over the coming days in a special way, or even for the very first time. Our first hymn in today's service is Christ Triumphant, Ever Reigning.
Thank you.
Our Bible reading today is from the Acts of the Apostles in the first chapter, beginning to read at the first verse. Now the Gospel writer Luke wrote the Acts of the Apostles. It's an account of life in the early church just after its foundation. And in the reading that we're going to hear today, we will hear how Jesus left the earth in quite a supernatural way in order to return to his Father in heaven. And we'll also hear about how the first disciples needed to wait for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we also hear how the gift of the Holy Spirit will help them to witness to Jesus' love and power and continue his work here on earth. Our reading from Acts chapter 1. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Here ends our Bible reading. And may I speak today in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I have to say that while I personally find it quite difficult to understand or to explain, I find that there is something really encouraging about the doctrine of the Ascension. The Ascension of Jesus was both the end of his earthly ministry and it was the prelude to his continuing ministry from heaven through the Holy Spirit. And in today's reading from the Acts of the Apostles, we hear Jesus' final words to his disciples before he returns to the Father in heaven. And there's a real sense of completion of a journey, even in the supernatural way that all of this takes place. But if we were to go back and think back to Jesus' birth, where he is born to a virgin peasant girl in the humblest circumstances we could ever imagine, it seems incredible that this is how Almighty God should choose to come to earth as a vulnerable human baby. And then as he dwells among us and lives a simple life with his parents in Nazareth, helping his father in his carpenter shop, the very ordinariness and simplicity of Jesus' life is particularly striking. At each stage, however, of his life, there's a sense of divine prompting that another phase is about to begin. And so we hear in the Gospels that Jesus goes to the wilderness to go through a time of fasting, tempting, and preparation for his public ministry. That began, scholars reckon, around the age of 30. Following his baptism by his cousin John, Jesus goes about preaching, healing, and teaching about the kingdom of God for the next 3 years. Now, he has not come to proclaim a political kingdom or to overthrow the existing Roman Empire, despite the aspirations of many of his followers that he would do exactly that. But Jesus has come to announce a new world order in which the priority is no longer to do what we want, but to do what God wants, and to make that the dominant purpose in all of our lives. And as people take on board what Jesus is saying, it means a radical reappraisal of everything that is familiar. And so instead of gaining and acquiring, instead of asserting power and dominance, Jesus shows that it is in fact all about giving things away. He shows us that life is all about serving others. It's about losing yourself and your sense of your own importance. And in doing these things, true life is to be found. And interestingly, too, this movement that became the early church, it's not just to be a localized thing, but it's actually to go to the very ends of the earth. And those who are disciples or followers of Jesus are to, in effect, live for the establishment of God's kingdom wherever they find themselves. Now, if the truth be told, this is a very threatening message to all who are powerful in any way, whether it is the political authorities or whether it's the religious authorities. Everyone, to a greater or lesser extent, feels frightened by what Jesus' teaching means for them. If we're honest, none of us likes our equilibrium to be disturbed. And maybe this current pandemic has revealed just how challenging we find it to be when everything that's normal in our lives has been thrown upside down. And yet, as we return to the life of Jesus, as more and more people become excited and attracted to the message of the gospel, we see that it becomes increasingly dangerous for Jesus to move about. Wherever he goes, crowds follow. And where there are crowds, as far as the authorities are concerned, there's always the possibility of insurrection. And so Jesus is put to death. Now, it's not just a normal death that people might experience maybe after an illness or through an accident, but it's actually the most agonizing and excruciating death that we could ever imagine. as Jesus is nailed to a cross between two thieves, following a savage beating and the mockery of his captors, and the most corrupt and unjust trial we will ever see. But it's at this very point, when Jesus dies, things become even more interesting, because we see that death could not contain Jesus. And after he rose from the dead, he appears to many people over a period of 40 days, convincing them that he is alive and continuing this teaching about building a new world where God's priorities and God's values are to be the benchmark for a new and fairer world. I think of all the incredible energy and commitment Jesus poured into those 3 years of public ministry as he goes on to take the penultimate stage of his journey, the stage that we read about in our Bible reading today, in returning to his heavenly Father. At the end of Luke's own gospel, Jesus gives his disciples two important instructions in the last conversation he has with them. And perhaps it's maybe a little bit more accurate to describe them as one instruction and one encouragement. The instruction is one that we've been thinking about in recent weeks in our church services, and it's one that I readily acknowledge that I struggle with, and one that we find very difficult. It's that call to be Jesus' witnesses, not just in Judea and Jerusalem and Samaria, but to the ends of the earth. Now I wonder, how can we be his witnesses? Is it about talking with others about him? Is it about describing our experiences of when we believed we knew he was there for us? I think there is certainly an element of both of these things involved in being Jesus' witnesses. But the real encouragement comes from being told that we will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on us. So when God's power comes to dwell within us through his Holy Spirit, new things become possible. And we discover that collectively, we are capable of doing extraordinary things so long as we remember to do them in his strength and not our own. Jesus had to return to his heavenly Father and continue on his journey so that this amazing power, the power of the Holy Spirit, would be available to us. And what's incredible, if I understand what he has done correctly, is that wherever in the world we find ourselves, Jesus is also present there through his Holy Spirit dwelling in us. Our part is to consciously yearn for his kingdom and to seek to bring his values and his priorities to whatever we do, wherever we find ourselves in this world. Now, the final part of Jesus' journey will not be completed until he returns to the earth and the world as we know it will be no more. No one knows when that will be, despite the speculation of many on that subject. But what's even more important than when that happens, as far as I'm concerned, is that we will be found engaged in the business of building his kingdom, sharing his values, working for the transformation of society wherever we happen to be. Let us pray. Lord, we praise you today as we remember your ascension. We thank you for your power and your authority. Thank you for the glory that accompanies the words you speak and the equipping of all who come after you and follow you with the Holy Spirit. Lord, we long today for a fresh outpouring of your Spirit in the world. We pray for your church in this land, and for David, our bishop, and for all who lead us in these troubled times. May they be given wisdom as we consider the next steps in reopening our society, our workplaces, and our churches. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray today for all governments as they make important decisions about reopening schools and businesses and relaxing restrictions after the COVID-19 pandemic. Lord, we ask that their advice would be carefully considered. We ask that they, as government leaders, would be responsible and careful in setting it out clearly. And we pray that people would be given the necessary resources and equipment to follow the advice through. We pray for your ongoing protection for those working on the front line and serving in businesses, supermarkets, hospitals, in the provision of school for the children of key workers, and care in the community. And we pray for all delivery drivers supplying all that is necessary for our well-being. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray too today for the sick and the poor and those in any kind of trouble. We continue to pray especially for all who are working in nursing homes, and we pray for those suffering with the virus in that environment. We ask, Lord, that you would come alongside and help families who are unable to visit loved ones because of the current restrictions. And we pray for all who feel fearful for the future. We think of those with underlying health conditions and those who feel very alone and isolated in the current situation. In the quietness, we bring any who are particularly in our thoughts or on our minds before you now. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we join all our prayers together in the prayer our Saviour Christ taught us to pray, as we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Thank you for joining us at our service today, And don't forget to tune in to those special events that will be available through the diocesan phone line, on our own parish website and Facebook page, and as you tune in to our own parish phone line. We bow our heads for God's blessing on this Ascension Day. May Christ, our exalted King, pour on you his abundant gifts, make you faithful and strong to do his will, that you may reign with him in glory. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you this day and forevermore. Amen. Our closing hymn for today's service is Hail the Day That Sees Him Rise, a hymn of triumph celebrating Jesus' ascension.